We're back, the Neil Haley Show on the Total Celebrity segment. And, you know, I love working with INSP. Really enjoy the conversations we have all the time. And it's just a really, really interesting process talking. And I'm excited to welcome to the program Craig Miller of INSP. Craig, thanks for calling. And how are you today?
I'm doing great, Neil. How are you? Happy birthday. Happy New Year.
Hey, my birthday's on the 7th, so thanks for wishing me a happy birthday, Craig. But yes, Happy New Year to you as well. And I tell you, I can't believe we're to 2018, and just the excitement you have for the lineup on INSP, right? I mean, especially Friday nights, and just how it continues to grow and build in original programming. One thing that when you came to INSP really didn't have, and it's really changed the whole ball game, hasn't it?
It has. I mean, original programming is still new for us, and we feel like with our Destination Fridays, shows like State Plate and Handcrafted America, we've gotten a little bit of a toehold on the schedule, and our viewers are starting to get comfortable with the fact that, you know, we have original programming along with all of the old classics that we air.
So, Craig, tell me a little bit about your job and how you work with INSP, and then we'll go right into the whole lineup so people can really know, so they get to tune in Friday nights, especially when, you know, such great shows you got on Fridays. But tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I'm the VP of original programming, and I love doing things like this because one of my roles is to try to explain to production companies and content producers, you know, what the INSP brand is and what types of shows fit on our network and what we're looking for.
And that's interesting, because going to this network, Craig, when you were hired, there was no original programming at INSP at that point when you were brought in?
Yeah, that's correct. We were 100% acquired programming, and, you know, basically we air what I would say are, you know, beloved classic television shows, you know, The Waltons, Little House, Matlock, Bonanza, and, you know, shows like that sort of come with their own marketing, you know, because they've been marketed for the last, you know, 40, 50, 60 years. So it's quite a different story with original programming, because, you know, you got to figure out how to get the word out and how to have a show like that pop on a network that's filled with those classics.
Absolutely. And you talk about these beloved classics, Craig, and that's the thing that you already had an audience to build on. You know, sometimes there were people that just really liked good, wholesome shows that the entire family can watch, Craig. And that is what this original programming Friday time slot's about. Programming that the entire family can watch. So you saw the model of what brought an audience to INSP, and so now we're going to take original programming. We're going to make sure that it still has that wholesome family quality, right, Craig?
That's correct. And you know, the challenge has been sort of born out of the success of the network. If you look at what we did in the beginning. And that predates me. The head of programming, Doug Butts, did a really genius programming strategy. And, you know, when we decided to rebrand and acquire all this programming, when we were looking at the type of programming that was out there that we could afford to put on air, you know, a lot of it just looked dated. And when you look at the catalog of family-friendly shows, like take a show like Eight is Enough, for example, it's a great show. And we all remember how entertaining it was and how great it was for the whole family to watch. But when you go back and look at it, it really looks dated. You know, the fashions that they're wearing just sort of look out of style, and all the technology is clunky, you know, the TVs and the phones and the computers. And so it just kind of looks old. And so what the head of programming did was he decided to focus on period pieces, And that turned out to be a great strategy because, you know, shows like The Waltons and Bonanza and Little House, they're timeless. They don't look old because they were shot as period pieces. And so that really, you know, led to a lot of success for our network. We grew very rapidly with that strategy. We're in 80 million households. We have a great viewer base. Our length of tune-in is amongst the highest in cable television.
That's fantastic.
Which means that once we can get a viewer to watch our network, they stay and watch for long periods of time, which is great. But that success has also, you know, been a challenge for original programming, because if you look at our network in total, it sort of has a, you know, sort of a Western pioneer, frontier, adventurous vibe to it. And so the challenge for me and for our department in original programming is, how do we create unscripted original shows that will flow with that type of programming?
Absolutely. We're talking to Craig Miller of INSP, and we're talking about the growth of the network from just regular awesome shows that we all could enjoy to now the original programming. So, Craig, the idea came up, let's create some shows. And you really kind of, and the team kind of really thought out of the box and brought in some big players in two of the shows. People that are well known in specific genre areas and are good people to be part of the shows, thinking about going after those two. That's got to be a challenge, right? You're bringing to another network, new original programming, and you're bringing well-known faces to the network. That's a challenge, right, Craig, to kind of present that to their agents and everything.
Yeah, it is, to convince them to, you know, take a chance along with us to develop this original programming strategy. But obviously, from our perspective, having celebrities really, really helps, because, you know, it their fan base brings, you know, a built-in audience to the show and helps us market the show. So, you know, when you look at somebody like Taylor Hicks, who is our host for State Plate, he's got a huge and loyal fan base. And so all of those fans of his music, you know, they automatically want to sample the show. And once they sample it, they like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Once they sample that show, they like it. And that's the key component there, is they like it because they say, okay, I'm a fan of this, but then I like the idea. And I love the idea of State Plate. Because a little different. And so let's talk about this show again with Taylor Hicks, and then we're going to go to Handcrafted America after that. Now, talk about State Plate and what the show's about. My viewers and listeners have heard about it before, but kind of delve into it a little bit more for us in a different way, in the way you see it visually, than Taylor, because we've talked to Taylor about it, but not other people about State Plate.
Okay. Well, State Plate is, you know, the ultimate high concept television series. And basically the concept is that every state is known for particular foods. You know, like if you say Maine, you immediately think lobster. You know, if you say South Carolina, you think low country food, and so on and so forth. And so we decided, hey, we're going to go to all 50 states and we're going to literally create a plate with the most emblematic foods from those states. And it really sort of all came together when we found Taylor as a host, because, you know, Taylor is just, you know, through his experiences on American Idol and, you know, touring the country, he has a very disarming Southern country, you know, just down folksy, I guess would be the word, charm. And so he's really able to get along with just about anybody that he meets and sort of form an instant connection. And that's really what it takes on this show, because Taylor's going to farms and festivals,
yes,
and,
yeah,
and restaurants and people's kitchens even, and taking a look at you know, the foods that they produce and that they eat. So he's kind of the perfect representative for the show.
And absolutely, Craig. And that's the thing. And I think that's the thing, that this has to be the type of thing that came from that state. So, for example, he brought up New Hampshire and how that the fish industry was very big in New Hampshire. He's brought up specifically other states, something different. That changes it to thinking when you hear plate, you might think, okay, we're thinking like the drive-ins or the other shows that go to the diners. It's not like that. Sometimes he's going to go to a diner, but really he's showing what makes that state so important, which leads the education portion of it and also the enjoyability of why that state is known for that specific thing. And so he's educating them and also enjoying what there is to enjoy from that state's food-wise and stuff.
No, yeah, it's chock full of information, and that's not to say that it's an educational show. We like to think of it as trivia instead of history or education. And you know, each one of the foods is profiled through some sort of activity, which makes it interesting just to watch Taylor do the activity. You know, so he might be cultivating avocados or fishing for trout or whatever it takes to actually get the food in its rawest, most original form. So it's not really like a Food Network TV show where, you know, the food is prepared step by step or you're oftentimes in a restaurant. We go to the source to find the food.
All right, let's talk now about Handcrafted America. Another great thing, because again, America and the different parts of America, and that's the great thing about it, is highlighting how great our country is. And those two shows right off the bat are highlighting the great things. We hear about all the negativity, but you tune into INSP on Friday nights, that's not the case. So tell us about Handcrafted America and that host.
Handcrafted America is great. Jill Wagoner is the host, and she's probably most known as the sort of the color sideline reporter for the series Wipeout. And that really perfectly prepared her for this show because she, just like Taylor, she can make an instant connection with a person and find something in common. And, you know, she had to do that, you know, with every single contestant on Wipeout. And so on Handcraft America, basically what that series is about is, honestly, it's a loving tribute to Americans who still make things by hand. And, you know, let's face it, the technology exists now to mass produce anything, but there's a certain percentage of Americans who just don't accept that. And they make a very conscious decision to continue making things by hand because they believe that's the better way to do it. And so Jill travels around the country and she meets these real interesting characters who, you know, sort of in a way reject modern technology. And we plunk her into their workshops and their garages and their homes and their businesses. And she has to just make that instant connection with them. And honestly, some of them, you know, they're not exactly the most outgoing and gregarious people because a lot of times they work alone in their shops, you know, as artisans and artists. And so we needed a host like Jill who could draw them out. And she's just great at it.
All right, so then we go to the last one, and I tell you, I interviewed these guys, and they're characters. But I love the fact that we're bringing back the cowboy. And talk about INSP and the cowboy. You have some cowboy shows. So to bring the new cowboy, the new generation that women are going to love and guys are going to want to model, talk about the Cowboy Way Alabama. And this is one where you don't have celebrities, but yet you have people that are truly showing that cowboy way on this show, this reality show.
Well, yeah, the Cowboy Way is a show about three young cowboys. And when I say young, I mean they're anywhere from late 20s to early 30s. So they're really, you know, at that formative stage of their lives where they're, you know, trying to build businesses, trying to start families. And they're doing it in a way that is markedly different than most people their age. You're not going to find them at Starbucks drinking a latte. They are honest to goodness cowboys. And again, it's a very conscious decision for them. They believe that way of life is better. And it's just more of an intentional way to live. But while it's better, it is certainly not easier. These guys work really, really hard. And, you know, so we just follow along with their everyday lives and, you know, and see what the cowboy way of life is like. They live according to a cowboy code. And interestingly enough, we're already into our second season, and that's going to premiere January 4th at 8 o'clock, and I think we have 8 episodes in that new series.
Wow. So that's exciting times coming on Fridays, and everyone needs to tune in. And Craig, I'm sure that your job doesn't stop from here. You have these great shows that for the original series, but you're always thinking about more shows, right, Craig? I know you can't tell us yet, but I'm sure you're in development to think about some more shows to join either Fridays or another day of original programming. I'm sure you have 2018 goals that some, yeah. But you can't tell us yet, but I'm sure that they're in the works.
Well, we don't mind sharing our strategy at all, because actually that helps, you know, when other production companies and content providers come in to pitch us. We need to sort of frame what we're looking for. And, you know, where we're going now is more towards the docu-soap genre of programming, which is what the cowboy way is. You know, shows like State Plate and Handcrafted America, they're core shows for us, but they're basically travel shows.
Right.
And we're not really looking for more of that. We're looking for more of the docu-soap format. So one of the things we're looking at doing is sort of spinning off another cowboy show. The cowboy way is called The Cowboy Way Alabama. So we're looking at cowboys in other states and thinking building out a franchise. Yeah.
Especially,
and
like
then
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Another area we're looking at is treasure hunting. Mm. And, you know, I think that's very relatable to our viewer, sort of a middle American viewer who, you know, sort of, you know, fantasizes about some way that they might be able to strike it rich. And that's why you look around on other networks and there are a lot of gold hunting and treasure hunting shows that are very popular. And so one of the ones we're developing in that genre is on a family that lives out in the desert in Nevada, and they make their living mining for turquoise.
All right. Well, fantastic, Craig. Best place we can find information on INSP is to go to the website, correct?
Yeah, that's INSP.com would be the portal for everything. And you're going to find, you know, obviously a schedule and more detailed information on every show. And then also it'll direct you to all of the social media accounts that we have as well.
All right, Craig, thanks for calling. Love promoting what you guys are doing at INSP. Look forward to chatting again. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, it's great chatting with you. Thanks, Neil.
All right, take care. All right, see ya.
All right,
bye. You're listening to Neil Haley's show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.